The next LOS asks us to describe how the cash flow statement is linked to the income statement and the balance sheet. The cash flow statement reconciles the beginning and ending balances of cash over an accounting period. The change in cash is a result of the firm's operating, investing, and financing activities as follows. Operating cash flow plus investing cash flow plus financing cash flow equals the change in the cash balance. And the change in the cash balance plus the beginning cash balance equals the ending cash balance. With a few exceptions, operating activities relate to the firm's current assets and current liabilities. Investing activities typically relate to the firm's non-current assets, and financing activities typically relate to the firm's non-current liabilities and equity. Transactions for which the timing of revenue or expense recognition differs from the receipt or payment of cash are reflected in changes in balance sheet accounts. For example, when revenues exceed cash collections, the firm has sold items on credit and accounts receivable, an asset, increase. The opposite occurs when customers repay more on their outstanding accounts than the firm extends in new credit. Cash collections exceed revenues and accounts receivable decrease. When purchases from suppliers exceed cash payments, accounts payable, a liability, increase. When cash payments exceed purchases, payables decrease. It is helpful to understand how transactions affect each balance sheet account. For example, accounts receivable are increased by sales and decreased by cash collections. We can summarize this relationship as follows. Beginning accounts receivable plus sales minus cash collections equals ending accounts receivable. Knowing three of the four variables, we can solve for the fourth. For example, if beginning accounts receivables are 10,000 euros, ending accounts receivables are 15,000 euros, and sales are 68,000 euros, then cash collections must equal 63,000 euros. Understanding these interrelationships is not only useful in preparing the cash flow statement, but is also helpful in uncovering accounting shenanigans. The next LOS is to describe the steps in the preparation of direct and indirect cash flow statements, including how cash flows can be computed using income statement and balance sheet data. The direct method of presenting a firm's statement of cash flows shows only cash payments and cash receipts over the period. The sum of these inflows and outflows is the company's cash flow from operations. The direct method gives the analyst more information than the indirect method. The analyst can see the actual amounts that went to each use of cash and that were received from each source of cash. This information can help the analyst to better understand the firm's performance over time and to forecast future cash flows. Common components of cash flow that appear on a statement of cash flow presented under the direct method are cash collected from customers, which is typically the main component of CFO, cash used in the production of goods and services, which is also called cash inputs, cash operating expenses, cash paid for interest, and cash paid for taxes. Investing cash flows, or CFI, are calculated by examining the change in the gross asset accounts that result from investing activities, such as property, plant, and equipment, intangible assets, and investment securities. Related accumulated depreciation or amortization accounts are ignored since they do not represent cash expenses. When calculating cash paid for a new asset, it is necessary to determine whether old assets were sold. If assets were sold during the period, you can calculate cash paid for new assets as ending gross assets, plus the gross cost of old assets sold, minus beginning gross assets. When calculating the cash flow from an asset that has been sold, it is necessary to consider any gain or loss from the sale. Cash from the asset sold equals the book value of the asset plus any gain or minus any loss on the sale. Financing cash flows, or CFF, are determined by measuring the cash flows occurring between the firm and its suppliers of capital. Cash flows between the firm and its creditors result from new borrowings, which are positive CFF, and debt principal repayments, which are negative CFF. Note that interest paid is technically a cash flow to creditors, but it is included in CFO under U.S. GAAP. Cash flows between the firm and its shareholders occur when equity is issued, shares are repurchased, or dividends are paid. CFF is the sum of net cash flows from creditors and net cash flows from shareholders. Net cash flows from creditors equal new borrowings minus principal amounts repaid. Net cash flows from shareholders equal new equity issued minus share repurchases minus cash dividends paid. Cash dividends paid can be calculated from dividends declared and any changes in dividends payable. Finally, total cash flow is equal to the sum of CFO, CFI, and CFF. If calculated correctly, the total cash flow will equal the change in cash from one balance sheet to the next. Under the indirect method, cash flow from operations is presented differently, but the amount of CFO is the same under either method. Cash flow from financing and cash flow from investing are presented in the same way on cash flow statements prepared under both the indirect and direct methods of presenting the statement of cash flows. Under the indirect method of presenting CFO, we begin with net income and adjust it for differences between accounting items and actual cash receipts and cash disbursements. Depreciation, for example, is deducted in calculating net income, but requires no cash outlay in the current period. Therefore, we must add depreciation and amortization to net income for the period in calculating CFO. Another adjustment to net income on an indirect statement of cash flows is to subtract gains on the disposal of assets. Proceeds from the sale of fixed assets are an investing cash flow. Since gains are a portion of such proceeds, we need to subtract them from net income in calculating CFO under the indirect method. Under the indirect method, we also need to adjust net income for change in balance sheet accounts. If, for example, accounts receivable went up during the period, we know that sales during the period were greater than the cash collected from customers. Since sales were used to calculate net income under the accrual method, we need to reduce net income to reflect the fact that credit sales, rather than cash collected, were used in calculating net income. A change in accounts payable indicates a difference between purchases and the amount paid to suppliers. An increase in accounts payable, for example, results when purchases are greater than cash paid to suppliers. Since purchases were subtracted in calculating net income, we need to add any increase in accounts payable to net income so that CFO reflects the actual cash disbursements for purchases rather than total purchases. The steps in calculating CFO under the indirect method can be summarized as follows. Step 1 is to begin with net income. Step 2 is to subtract gains or add losses that resulted from financing or investing cash flows, such as gains from sale of land. Step 3 is to add back all non-cash charges to income, such as depreciation and amortization, and subtract all non-cash components of revenue. Step 4 is to add or subtract changes to balance sheet operating accounts. Increases in the operating asset accounts are uses of cash, which are subtracted, while decreases are sources of cash, which are added. Increases in the operating liability accounts are sources of cash and are added, while decreases are uses of cash and are subtracted. Both IFRS and U.S. GAAP encourage the use of a statement of cash flows in the direct format. Under U.S. GAAP, a statement of cash flows under the direct method must include footnote disclosure of the indirect method. Most companies, however, report cash flows using the indirect method, which requires no additional disclosure.